E4338.
Welcome to America Tonight. If you haven't heard, Herman Cain is out of the race. He suspended his pursuit of the Republican ticket to get into 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue. Said it was just too hard on his family. Meantime, Democrats say they're going to offer a compromise on the payroll tax cut that should work, and they should have a deal with the Republicans and others who are skeptical by the end of the week. And it includes a way to pay for the $200 billion cost of extending that tax cut that could mean $800 to $1,000 to a lot of you listening to me here during this show. You know, it's always the middle class, isn't it, somehow, some way, although we don't want any more debt because it's going to be cut, cut, cut. So if there's a way to pay for this, how is that? I think a lot of lemonade sales, cookie sales, something, I don't know. What does Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid have up his sleeve? Nobody will say for sure. That'll be interesting to find out later in the week. Also, Madonna's going to play the Super Bowl halftime show. Are you excited? I don't know. At least Cirque du Soleil performers are going to be in the middle of that. It is the most watched television show of the year, so I guess that's big for her, but I question whether or not she's the right choice for that show. We don't care about that show. We're looking at a couple of other things, including the horror show that's going on still at Penn State. Jerry Sandusky, who was a former coach, longtime coach at Penn State, you all know, is facing 40 counts already of child molestation after a grand jury investigation. More kids are coming out of the woodwork, not kids now, adults who are saying they were molested by Sandusky. Sandusky did an interview, a lengthy interview with a New York Times reporter, and talked about a bunch of different things, including trying to defend himself about that family feeling that was the reason why he was around the kids, the whole charity thing. How he felt about the people that he had encountered, some of these boys that he encountered, the whole family feeling thing. Take a listen.
There was a mutual feeling, you know, a family-like feeling. It was, you know, it was an extended family. We were an extended family, an extended father.
How about Joe Paterno? The question keeps looming. Did Joe Paterno know about what was going on other than what happened with Mike McQueary, who was with the program and was a grad assistant then and saw something in the shower, ran to Paterno? You know, we know that part of the story somewhat, but everybody wants to know what Paterno knew with Sandusky directly. Did they ever have any conversations? Here's what he said about that.
I don't know that he didn't know. I know that he didn't never said anything to me. I know that.
So he says Joe Pa didn't say anything. He doesn't know whether he knew whatever he knew. Isn't that interesting? And here's the real kicker. You need to hear this. This is, again, an interview that was done by a New York Times reporter over a period of a week or so. And in this section, he talks about the Bob Costas interview, because remember when that came out, everybody was shocked about the snapping towels and the boys, and it was normal, it was a jocular thing to take showers and whatnot. So here's how he responded to what happened with that interview.
I'm sitting there saying, well, what in the world is this question? You know, what is it? You know, am I going to be, if I say, no, I'm not attracted to boys, that's not the truth, because I'm attracted to young people, boys, girls.
Yeah, but not sexually. You're attracted because you enjoy spending time.
Right. I enjoy. That's what I was trying to say. I enjoy spending time with young people. I enjoy spending time with people. I mean, my two favorite groups are the elderly and the young. The young because they don't think about what they say, and the old because they don't care. You know, so those, I love being around both groups, both those groups of people, because, and neither one of them are going anywhere. They're not caught up like all of us in trying to make a living and trying to impress people. They are who they are, and that's why I love those groups. Those are my two favorite groups of people.
Nice. Another bizarre explanation from Jerry Sandusky. Come on, keep doing it. Keep bringing those interviews, Sandusky. Amendola, his attorney, was the guy that you heard interrupt there, basically say something out loud. So I don't know what the strategy is. Let him speak. Let him try to explain his way out of the nonsense that is. But it's one big mess, to say the least.
It's kind of scary that he had to be reminded again about the sexual conduct and being attracted, and it took him forever to, I don't know, I just don't get this guy, it's creepy. And then the rest of the answer too, his two favorite groups are young people and the elderly, the two most vulnerable groups of
yes.
people that there could be. I just don't get it.
I don't get it either. I mean, he's whatever he's trying to explain, he's not explaining himself well. He's out on bail. I just don't get it. I mean, the entire country wants to pound him into the ground. I mean, really, what a slime ball. That's all you can say. And it is creepy when you hear this stuff that he says. I mean, I just do not get it. And I don't get why the attorney would let him speak anyway, because every time he speaks, it just gets worse and worse. And it gives you, frankly, it just creeps you out even more about Sandusky and makes you feel so sad for any of those kids that were victimized by him related to that charity and otherwise. Wow. So I mentioned that after weeks of allegations and stumbles and bumbles and all that stuff, Herman Cain is now going to whatever plan B is. You can rest assured that many of the Republicans left in this race would like to have an endorsement from him, because he definitely had some followers, to be sure. Michelle Bachmann was talking about things that were important to her over the weekend. She talked about being tough on immigration and money, money, money.
These special interests aren't paying him $100 million for nothing. I will build the fence, I will secure the border, and I'll make English the official language of the United States government.
All right, English the official language. Do we need to go there, really? And of course, talking about Gingrich and the money being paid by special interest or not, because of the whole lobbying question with Gingrich. And then Ron Paul, who showed up in the Iowa polls. People keep forgetting about the longtime congressman from Texas. I don't know why. He was ahead of the curve on a lot of things, like let's go after the Federal Reserve and audit those suckers. He talks about Cain's votes and the wide appeal and what he would call the flavor of the decade.
We've had the flavors of the month up and down, you know, so far in this campaign. I'd like to think of myself as the flavor of the decade. You have to have a candidate that's going to appeal across the political spectrum. And I think with my views, they're quite different than the hard-edged views that so many on the Republican side frequently are showing. We're paying a lot of attention to that, because obviously they're going to go somewhere in the next week or so. That's going to happen. So I'm optimistic that we'll pick up some votes from there.
Paul's optimistic. Are you optimistic? Did anybody nail the score this time around? The Packers and the Giants was the nail the score game. We'll see. Plus highlights from the NFL. Hang with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Sanchez with a handoff to Sean Green, running right, and breaks free at the 20, at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown. Sean Green into the end zone from one with 1:47 to go, and that pushes the lead up to 33-19. The Jets on top.
Three receivers bunched near side right. Now Gronkowski in motion left to right. Snap to Brady. Two by Gronkowski on the right. Nobody's going to stop it. Play. Full end zone touchdown.
Snap. Placement. Prater has it on its way, and Denver has won 5 consecutive games, and they have beaten the Vikings on the last play of the game as Matt Prater from 23 yards out gives the Broncos a 35-32 win.
Roethlisberger hands it off, six. Now he's running right, going to throw it to the end zone, touchdown, Denver.
TJ finds room to the 40, to the 35, to the 30, to the 25, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, to the 5, and he is in there. Touchdown! Chris Johnson, 48 yards, and the Titans go back in front, 9-7.
A touchdown here would break some fans loose for the exits. Carolina up 19. It's Cam Newton up the middle. Accelerates, dives, penetrates the goal line. Cam Newton with his 13th rushing touchdown of the year.
On the 48 of Arizona. And the pass caught by Stevens Howling down the sideline. Stevens Howling with a fake inside the 15. And he scores. Wow.
And a little jump ball. Urlacher got a hand on it. It was caught. It's a touchdown! The Chiefs got it on a ricochet! And caught by McCluster!
Wow, they go 30.
Enough said, what a wild weekend in the NFL. Matt Johnson's highlights Yeah, tell you the whole story there for some teams. Boy, some really bit it. Like the Cardinals over the Cowboys, 19-13. Wow, for the Cardinals, they pick up their fifth win. Crazy. What is wrong with the Cowboys? They miss a winning field goal, and they lose in overtime. But the strange thing of all of the games, and there were some wild deals, like the Packers over the Giants, 38-35. Aaron Rodgers able to drive it upfield with very little time on the clock and, you know, put a pin in the Giants, at least all the people that were there thinking this was a huge victory, packing in the Meadowlands, but it didn't happen. Well, all the other things that we could talk about aside, everybody knows that you can ice the kicker, but usually you call that timeout when you're on the other side. Right before the kicker is going to kick, you hope that you mess with his psyche, and then the kick happens, and sometimes they don't make it the second time. Well, guess what happened to Danny Bailey? They iced the kicker. Unfortunately for him, or really for the Cowboys, it was his own team that iced him. It wasn't the Cardinals. It wasn't the Cardinals that called the timeout. It was the Cowboys. Jason Garrett, the coach for the Cowboys, icing his own kicker. They could have won that game. Oh, how painful is that? A heartbeat before Bailey hits a 49-yarder right through the uprights. It would have been the game winner at the end of regulation. What Jason Garrett said after the game was the play clock was running down. We wanted to make sure that we had a real clean opportunity at it. It was still about 6 seconds. We were going to get settled in, so we banged a timeout to give him the chance to get the snap and hold and kick and all that kind of stuff. So the next try was short, and it was to the left, and it sent it into overtime. And then, of course, as I just said, it was history. Matt, was that the most boneheaded play of everything you saw over the weekend in the NFL?
Definitely, and it reminded me of when I used to watch Brad Childress, the head coach of the Vikings. He's the only other coach I've ever seen ice his own kicker. He did it to Ryan Longwell a couple of years ago with the same kind of time mismanagement where you're arguing with your coaches and other people when to call a timeout, when not to call a timeout. And I just don't understand. If you have 25 seconds and two timeouts left, why wouldn't you take a timeout, run a couple plays, and maybe, you know, he said he was worried about taking them out of field goal position. You got DeMarco Murray, run a couple, you know, have a halfback dive or something, get a couple extra yards and have the ball in the center of the field so you can have a better field goal to try. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me either. That's why I said it's the boneheaded move of the week. The other thing that was interesting, because I watched a lot of football, besides watching the Sunday swirl, so I had politics in the morning with my coffee, and later in the day it was football, lots of football. I watched a lot of the Atlanta-Houston game, and what was interesting, I think, about this game is the fact that, talk about momentum for Houston, those people were so loud in that stadium. You know, they were the 12th man, if you will, because it was distracting. They were that loud. And what was interesting is the fact that they had a third stringer. The Texans had a third stringer, T.J. Yates, who had to play QB because their main guy, Matt Schaub, was out. He was injured. And then even the backup is out. So you go to the third guy, and he was pretty darn good. And the Texans have won six straight games. So they got a third stringer out there, and they win. And the Falcons just sputtered. The defense was in their throats most of the game, and they couldn't get it done. And that was, I thought, a crazy 24 years old, 8 for 15, 70 yards, debuting against the Jags. He was sacked three times by the Falcons, but never, ever overlooked. And he said he felt comfortable. He's getting it down. And he was in place of Matt Leinart. Who Matt Schaub and Matt Leinart, because Leinart broke his collarbone and Schaub has a joint problem in his right foot, so he was out too. How about that to go three deep? Whoo, that was huge. Huge.
The Texans have to be the most cursed team in the NFL right now. They got Schaub goes out, Leinart goes out, Andre Johnson was out for most of the year, comes back in this game, out again now, hurt his hamstring. Brian Cushing gets hurt. Earlier in the year, you have D'Amico Ryans, D'Amico Ryans, their linebacker, got hurt, out for the year. Mario Williams, their best, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, out for the year. It's just all their players are going down. Somehow they're still winning. But when you look around the league, you got to feel bad for the Texans because they've always dealt with the big brother, the Indianapolis Colts, and Peyton Manning. And this year, Peyton Manning's out. It's their year to win it all. And they just can't stay healthy.
Yeah, and, you know, coaches never, ever want to use that as an excuse because they say everybody else has to deal with the injuries as well. But it's so true. Probably more than any other team with it wide open, like Matt just described, you got Gary Kubiak, who's the coach of Houston, never leaning on that. But really, they somehow find a way to do it. And they do. They find a way to do it, and they get it done. And even though they're missing some top performers, and that just adds to the lore of where they are right now, and the fact that they're 9-3, 5-1 at home, that people are just going wild, and you could hear them in that stadium, Reliant Stadium. It is just rocking that place to its core. It might have been the loudest crowd actually through the tube that I heard over the weekend. The other game I think that was interesting to quickly note here is Denver beating Minnesota 35-32. Boy, a lot of people chose the Vikings and thought this was going to be a big game for them, and it was a big game for them. Unfortunately, they lose it in the waning moments. And how in the world are the Denver Broncos with Tim Tebow, who is now 6-1 since he's jumped in? How are they winning this? You look at his numbers, even in the first quarter, nothing great in the first quarter anyway. And they, you know, they ended up in the final 93 seconds. He had a couple of field goals that made the difference. And so they're in a first place tie in the AFC West because the Raiders lost. Who would have thought that? 7-5 now, 5-2 away, and the Vikings 2-10. So more of the same. By the way, for everybody who is on the edge of their seat wondering if anybody nailed the score, nobody nailed the score. Oh, I was hoping we would have somebody, but it didn't happen. Green Bay 38, New York 35. A lot of people called in this time around. We do the nail the score thing in the third hour on Friday morning, but nobody even came close this time around.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
In 2009, several international scientists concluded the WTC buildings were blown up by nanothermite. So what actually happened on 9/11? An experienced physicist with a PhD in applied physics at Caltech has published an online book about this disaster, National Swindle of the World Trade Center. This factual analysis includes 37 color photos in 7 chapters. Download it now for less than $13 at sealane.org. That's SEALANE.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E Military.com, the main name in military supply.
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products, delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Like the beat, beat, beat of the tom tom.
So how many of you are sitting at your desk and you're actually ordering clothes for Christmas for other people, gifts in other words, and you're not doing your work? I always wonder this. I used to work for a music company on the side. It was a lot of fun. It was a bunch of years ago. And we were in cubes, and really we would play kind of whack-a-mole with humans. You'd look up and somebody would be the signal caller, because then the big boss would come in and everybody would be doing different things on their computers. Now, I will say this. I was their top dog there. I'm not patting myself on the back. And because I was so paranoid about what they probably were doing, like spying on us with our computers, I really never did that. I didn't go off and surf the internet. And especially with my love of sports and news and prepping for shows that I was doing later in the day, I would be too afraid that I'd get lost in what I was working on anyway. So, not that I'm a goody two-shoes, right? But surfing on the internet has to be a huge problem. People wasting time at work. How much is that actually costing companies? I would think it would be either in the millions or maybe even in the billions. Real excited about this next guest. He wastes no time. He is not a time waster. Why? Because he has his own company. So you can't waste time when you have your own company. Andre Angel is in the wings, and he's got a company called Work Meter, and he's going to break it down for us. Hey, Andre, how are you?
Great, Kate. How are you?
So you never, I bet you never wasted time ever at any job you ever had. You never surfed the internet, right?
Absolutely not. Are you kidding me? We all waste time, and it's great to waste sometimes. Sometimes you need a break from everything you're doing.
Well, you know what? I kind of, I kind of agree with you there. Here's the thing. If you sometimes, especially like people work in these call centers, and they're so strict in these call centers with people, that I think your mind would tend to wander. I think you do need a break. It's just a question of if somebody's just too out of control and they can't rein themselves back in, where they're just blown way too much time. But I agree. I think you do need a mental break. So how does this work? You know, when it comes to just surfing on the internet, is that the number one time wasting activity?
It seems that the internet wasting is, you know, time wasting on the internet is the largest time waster in the enterprise. There's a lot of people that would do actually gaming. Think about it. That happens every day. And many other things that reading the news, socializing with friends, shopping. I guess that could be internet as well. But a lot of time is wasted in major corporations, and really nobody knows how much it is until you can measure it objectively.
Yeah, and you're a productivity expert. So how, when you go into a company, what do you do? How do you assess what's going on in their world?
Well, the idea behind what we do is all about culture change. Productivity is kind of an outcome that comes basically as a side effect almost of what we do. And productivity increases quite dramatically. Now, when we deploy our software on all the machines in corporations, we typically find that most corporations are somewhere in the range of 40% productive. That means 60% of the time used on computers, and we measure knowledge workers, is wasted time, not related to work at all.
Not related to work at all. And so the idea is, but boy, when you come in, that has to make some people nervous. Do they know? Like, if you go into a big company, would they know that you're doing that? Because people might feel like they're being spied on, kind of, or no, it's not even that. That's not even how it works.
No, it doesn't work like spying. Actually, we recommend that every employee is told, because we work with the employees. The idea behind the technology is that, you know, the world has changed over the last 20 years. The internet, social networking now, teleworking, all these words that just didn't exist 20 years ago are now in the workplace, and there's a different culture in the workplace. So the idea here is, if we can show people exactly what they're doing and give them the feedback, people recognize how much time wasted, or they can exactly do what they want, right? So if they want to waste time, and knowing that somebody could be watching this, that's their call. The idea behind it, again, is to keep privacy. So employee privacy is very important. And I could tell that you wrote an email, or I could tell that you went to a certain website. I just don't know what's in the email, and we don't want to know. We don't want to spy. We want to keep your privacy up to you. Although in major corporations, actually, there is no privacy. A corporation can really read anything that you have on a computer or any interaction you have. But with our stuff, we try to keep the solution maintaining the privacy of the employee. And an employee can actually shut the system off, right? So if they don't want to know what's going on, or if they know that they're going to something to do private, let's say browsing or shopping, they can actually turn the system off. And what we track is the time and usage, so they will know that they've spent, you know, 10 hours off this week.
Yeah, there you go. And is it true, is this right, that the average worker wastes over 2 hours each 8-hour workday?
We're seeing a lot more than that in real life. So I think, I'm not sure where the numbers come from. I've seen them in different articles in Wall Street Journal or different productivity measurement articles. But really, I think we're seeing a lot more than that in terms of wastage.
Wow. So do you what do you do? Do you recommend solutions, or you just tell them, listen, we've broken it down for you. Here's all the information. Then it's up to the company. Because, of course, every culture is different. As you said, the cultures are changing. So do you come up with a hit list or a recommendation to the company as well?
We can work with consulting companies that work on productivity. The idea behind our solution as a software, we provide the company the option to deploy this and give it to all the employees, informing the employees, and that's our recommended method. Some companies prefer to do it without telling the employees, which is not our recommendation. But what the tool would do is allow you to manage groups or individuals, or allow the individual to manage themselves, or teaming with their peer group to manage the team. So the solution will highlight all the applications used, all the time spent on different applications, and can actually create a very simple-to-use dashboard where an employee can start developing habits. So you can see what you're doing, you can see how you're wasting your time. And some of us will do this. I mean, you asked me, I think, in the beginning, have you ever done this. Absolutely. We just don't know how much time we spent. So we may go ahead and read an article and then go shop and then talk to a friend. And it just adds up, but nobody knows what it is. And I don't think anybody's really trying to do it maliciously. Just we don't know.
You know what? I agree with you. Yeah. I agree with you. Absolutely. I think that people aren't doing it maliciously. That's why I said with my example, I didn't go there with that one company because I knew that I would get lost in the stories or the things that I was doing, so I didn't even want to go there. That way it wouldn't even be an issue for me because you don't realize how time evaporates. That's what, you know, time is that commodity that we all want back, and we never have enough of it, as you know, and that's the thing. So I love that you do that. I would have to assume that if people used it in the right way, they would realize, I mean, anyone could use it, actually, and they would realize where they're wasting time that they don't maybe think about. In the course of a whole day, you take a lunch break, you come in, you're kind of fitzing around, and then socializing with other people in the workplace and that kind of stuff. So I would think that it could be very, very helpful if it was used in the right way. What made you decide to do WorkMeter? How'd you come up with this idea?
As you know, we've built multiple companies, and I have a group of partners and entrepreneurs that we work together to build numerous companies. This idea came from one of our other companies that we've built in measuring device performance, and that's network device performance. And then we thought that if we can create a helping tool for changing culture in a corporation, and let me explain what that means. In a lot of the companies today, I think we're still using older technologies, measuring the time, blocking ports so you can't go to internet sites, or blocking shopping and blocking different things. I think that's the wrong move. We wanted to create something that enabled the company to give the freedom to the employees to do whatever they want. So rather than block something like Facebook, which most people spend hours on, allow them to use Facebook, but tell them how much time they're spending on it. And a responsible person would look at this and say, oh my God, I spent 2 hours on Facebook today and this is on company hours. So they can recognize what they're doing and develop better habits to combat some of the behaviors that they're doing. So the idea, again, is not to police, but to enable cultural change and not use old technologies as in I'll measure time or I'll block you from doing something like this. Because if you think about it, 90% of our employees today work from somewhere outside of corporate office or outside of one location that we used to work in 20 to 30 years ago.
Yeah, do you have that with any of the clients that you've had so far? Do you work with them where they have a lot of people that are off the premises, they're working from home?
Absolutely. I think most corporations today, I can't tell you the numbers, 80 or 90%, but most corporations will have employees in different locations, especially the larger ones. And we allow people to work from home. We create more flexibility. We want people to go and have a better life. Work-life balance, and that's what's happening. And we have for the first time four generations in the workplace, and I think there's an element of people wanting to be trusted, especially the younger generation today that do things differently than some of my generation. And so enabling them to do what they need, giving them the tools to manage and build their careers and do the right thing for the business. Is the right thing. The point is, let them know what they're doing and give them, for the first time, something, an objective measure. We believe that if you can't measure it, you can't fix it. And especially in the knowledge worker space, I mean, it's not like building a wall and you see something going up every day, a foot or 2 feet or 3 feet, so you can measure accomplishments. We in knowledge worker space, we measure kind of the end result, but nobody is measuring the journey. And I think what we're doing is trying to improve that journey, measure it, give somebody the feedback so they can develop the better habits for continuing and building the business.
Oh, I love that. Measuring the journey. That's what your book has to be called, Measuring the Journey. I just gave you the title. I love that. I love that. That's it. That's it. Measuring the journey. That's what that makes sense. Positivity rather than negativity.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at a sales team sometimes, and you look at why is your top salesperson a top salesperson, and why is the bottom one in the bottom? And there's no way to tell. Sometimes a manager will say, oh, I like this guy, so he's good. And somebody who he doesn't like may not be good. I think for the first time here, we can give them the elements of the process and measure exactly what people are doing so you can emulate the top person's behavior and now shift a lot more of your people to top performers rather than not knowing and just, you know, firing something because it didn't deliver.
Sure, winging it. Andre Angel, interesting stuff. Check it out, workmeter.com. Andre, thank you.
Burglars love easy targets, like a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television, so from outside it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, comes with AC adapter, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and give one or more for Christmas. Now through Christmas, get free standard shipping on any quantity fake TV purchase. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. Faketv.com, the burglar deterrent.
Discover a natural way to experience cleaner, healthier indoor air without expensive filters and high-priced machines. Discover what healthcare professionals have known for decades. Salt ionizes and purifies indoor air. That's why you need to visit SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com offers a wide assortment of Himalayan crystal salt lamps, handcrafted from salt crystals that are millions of years old, contain healthy ions that eliminate odor, reduce bacteria, and can even help allergy and asthma sufferers, which means you and your family will breathe better, sleep sounder, and have more energy. These salt lamps are available in stunning, natural colors and shapes to accent any home or office, are environmentally friendly, and best of all, they're affordable. And don't forget SilverSkyImports.com. SilverSkyImports.com also carries gourmet and bath salts. Order today at SilverSkyImports.com or call 800-494-1369. That's 800-494-1369. Breathe easier, feel better, live healthier at SilverSkyImports.com.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why? When you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeCig. With LeCig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vapriot e-liquid flavors at LeCig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning, e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast, and all those nooks and crannies in between. When we talk about nooks and crannies, the Occupy movement, as we know, I've said this before, you can take almost any city, big or small, and put Occupy in front of it, rather, and that's what we've seen across this country in the last couple of months. I mentioned that I was in New York when the Occupy Wall Street first started to bubble up, and it was very, very small the weekend I was there, and then it exploded, of course, after that. Dennis Marcellino. Don't know if you recognize the name or not. I know you know one of his hit songs, the megawatt hit, The Lion Sleeps Tonight. I can still hear that tune in my head.
Well, oh, sorry.
You hear it, too. I love that. Well, Dennis, there in our virtual green room, is a former member of the Tokens, and, of course, Sly and the Family Stone. And he says he's one of the original hippies. Hey, Dennis, thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thank you.
Well, you know, when you said you were original, we talked earlier in the day, when you said you were original hippie, that's the hippie deal was, I think, kind of chic, and it was a movement unto itself, right? And now people are trying to compare being a hippie with the Occupy movement. Do you think there's any comparison there?
A little bit. I think the Occupy movement, they're more angry, whereas the hippie movement, there was some anger against the war at the time, but it was more like an enlightenment feeling.
More of an enlightenment feeling. Do you think the problem, I don't know, first of all, your feelings about the Occupy movement in general, when you saw it start to bubble up, I mentioned I was in New York and it was very, very small, then it got bigger and of course exploded and there were a lot of people, a lot of different opinions about what should be done, it wasn't organized enough, you know, all this other kind of stuff, and trying to kind of wrap their heads around what the Occupy thing was. What were your initial thoughts when you heard about it?
Well, I wasn't too shocked. I mean, I think a lot of people are unhappy, you know, with the country the way it's going right now. And that just spilled over into the streets, basically. I mean, like, I have a lot of training in psychology. And in psychology, you don't really look at what a person says. You look at what they're feeling. And you can see a lot of people are very unhappy or they're just even kind of crazy even. And I think the roots are, though, not exactly, like I say, you know, they have a couple of legitimate complaints, you know, like about the foreign policies and the unfair wages. But I think that they're so unhappy because the country has gotten way off as far as male-female relationships, for one, and inner peace for another. So those are two things that I kind of struggled with when I got in the hippie movement. That's where it really went off. I think before that, I got married in 65, and it was still pretty normal as far as, like, male-female relationships go. You know, you built up to marriage. Everybody looked forward to marriage, and there wasn't a lot of loose sexuality. And so so the families and marriages were pretty safe, whereas now I think it's pretty tough. Too many barriers have been crossed to put together a nice, safe relationship.
Yeah, well, you know what? I agree with you. How do we reverse that? How do we change that?
Well, let's see. It's going to be tough. You know, there's the thing called the Hays Code back then, H-A-Y-S, and that's a good thing to look up on the Internet, on Wikipedia, say. And the Hays Code, starting when movies first started happening, there were things that absolutely could not be in any movies or songs or TV shows. But in 1968, it switched over to the rating system that we have now, which is like, you know, PG, PG-13, R, X. And so the big difference there, though, was that in the Hays Code, Hollywood couldn't make, you know, bad movies and bad TV shows. Whereas after the Hays Code with the rating system, they were able to do that. And then it was up to people to decide, you know, whether they were going to, you know, well, curiosity kills the cat, as they say. And people, of course, are going to be curious and want to see the, you know, the R's and the X's and the kids especially too. And parents aren't going to be able to stop their kids from seeing that. So that's the big difference. That was the big moral downturn in the country.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And the whole rating system, too, is very strange. I saw a documentary on how that's done. And, you know, basically you take a group of people, random people are part of the rating system, and you have a lot of films that are held hostage and by the ratings code, and a lot of them that aren't really rated correctly either. So the whole thing's strange.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, very weird. All right, you have a book out called The Solutions, and in the book you say you can, you have solutions to help diffuse the movement, and you've got a 10-phase plan that would guarantee, and I love this part, eliminating unemployment. Boy, the people listening to you and I talk right now in America tonight, across America, this is such a big thing that we talk about on the show. People call in and they tell us their stories and what they've done and whether they had PhDs or no education but worked themselves to death and how rough it really is out there. And I think there's a disconnect in Washington to what's really happening in the country. I don't know that the politicians, or at least a bunch of them, the majority of them, realize just how awful it is out there. So give us your solutions.
Okay, well, you know, yeah, part of it is what you just said, the ivory tower is D.C. You know, they have no sensitivity to what people are going through. But if they did, I mean, I do have a way that this could all be solved. It's 10 phases, and one of the phases is something called workfare. This is something that's worked in Australia and India and Canada. And basically, the government's just putting out money now. on all these, you know, like unemployment and welfare and food stamps and all that. Whereas what they should do is they should have corporations, government corporations or supported private corporations that would guarantee people to be able to show up and earn this money. That's just one part of it. Now, and plus they'd have to be, they can't be things like, you know, what Obama's suggesting, which is, fixing highways and stuff like that. No, they'd have to be things that actually bring money back in. So that actually does not only solves the unemployment problem, but it solves the federal debt problem too.
Yeah. Boy, I agree with you there. And you see this deficit, isn't it crazy? It's really closer to $15 trillion. And then I said this, you know, you get this super committee, and it already was had problems going into it because they put super in front of committee, and I would have never jumped on a committee in Washington that had super in front of it. And, of course, it didn't work. It blew up. And then, you know, the anger sort of is diverted there. But nothing is accomplished. It's crazy. I mean, can they cut spending? That has to be part of this equation.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're so ideologically attached and detached from the public because they're all millionaires.
Yeah.
So that's really unfortunate. They don't really care about people. They just care about their own trip that they're on.
Yeah.
And promoting that. So that's
unfortunate. Well, I agree with you. Yeah. What was the best thing about being a hippie?
What was the best thing? Well, you know, there was two sides to the hippie movement. There was the organic side and there was the hedonistic side. And the hedonistic side was bad because that's the drug overdoses and the STDs and all that not good stuff. But the organic side was great because it kind of just opened us up to spirituality for one, something, you know, that we hadn't even ever considered before, but that started coming over from India and the Beatles kind of brought it in to really seriously think about spirituality. And then, you know, being into organic and healthy eating and lack of vanity and just, you know, getting natural peace and love, you know, that's what the hippies said. So that side of it was really inspiring.
The lion sleeps tonight. What, I can't let you fly without asking you about that. Did you think that when that song came out, did the band think that was going to be such a big hit that it would still carry on and people would, like I said, have that tune running in their head?
No, not at all. As a matter of fact, in those days, the songs that were popular were about romance. And so the lion sleeps tonight. Well, actually, Lion Sleeps Tonight was side B on the 45. The side A was Tina, and it was about a girl named Tina.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like with the way we say it in the show, you know, luckily everybody played the other side of the record. And starting with one DJ in Massachusetts, which is something that doesn't happen anymore now. It's very conglomerate, the whole radio industry. So,
oh, yeah, we could do a whole show on that, couldn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, sadly, and you know, as being a musician, was it fun touring as part of the Tokens, and of course with Sly and the Family Stone?
Oh yeah, I mean we were touring with all the top acts, you know, like, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis, and one day I walked into my dressing room and Mick Jagger and John Lennon were there, and you know, I met and really and worked with and was friends with, you know, most of the big acts.
Yeah, boy, I bet you got to do another book on that, too. You got the solution.
Yeah, I've got a lot of movie footage, too, that I took.
Oh, you got to put that together. Definitely,
yeah.
Definitely. Come back on this show and talk about that as well. Hey, if somebody wants to get the solutions, because you gave us one, where can they pick it up?
www.theoptimumpoliticalsolutions.com.
I love it. Dennis Marcellino, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
Okay, thank you.